Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, as we consider our text, which was just read for you, we are struck with the thought that God is the supreme God of the entire world, that He rules over all the false gods of this world and over all people. He rules over the Philistines. He rules over their false god, Dagon. Dagon is nothing to the true God. As we consider the circumstances surrounding our text for the day, we realize or we can feel at the same time the distress of the people of God, the distress of the Israelites. God's special people had been defeated in battle. 30,000 Israelite foot soldiers had been killed in battle, and the precious Ark of the Covenant had been captured by the heathen Philistines. For 7 long months, the precious Ark was to be in the control and the power of these Philistines. The Ark of the Covenant that was emblematic, symbolic of all of the gracious promises of God that He had made to His special people. Scripture tells us of the dejection of the priest Eli, who upon hearing the bad news about the defeat of the battle and upon the loss of the Ark of the Covenant, fell over backward in his chair and broke his neck and immediately died. Scripture also tells us of Eli's daughter-in-law, his pregnant daughter-in-law, who upon hearing the bad news, she immediately gave birth to a son and died in the process. Their despair was no doubt felt by all of the Israelites after the defeat and loss of the Ark of the Covenant. Was God still their God? Was He still in control of their very lives? Or was He so weak that a foreign God could defeat Him in battle? No doubt we have all often felt ourselves the heavy burden of defeat in our lives. No doubt we have often faced circumstances in our lives where we have felt that God is not in control of our lives. We have forgotten, perhaps, or will forget that God does rule over His entire world. We need our text of this day to remind us of this fact, that God is in control. We need this message because we live in a secularistic, mechanistic world that appears to not consider God at all, to think perhaps that God is not in control of His world and His universe. In much of our Western world, this is the thinking. God is not so much denied as He is just plain ignored. We can explain our universe without recourse to God. And therefore, they try to explain the world in secularist terms. To these people, God is not in control of His world. It runs simply by itself. So this is a pertinent topic for the day, and one that we will briefly look at. I want to briefly look at our text under the theme, God is in control, that He is in control over all people at all times and in His own way. First of all, we learn that God's control is over all people. When the Ark of the Covenant was placed before the god Dagon, this fertility god of the Philistines, half fish and half man, the Philistines returned the next morning to find that Dagon was in submission before the Ark of the Covenant, flat on his face. And when they placed Dagon up again, they returned the next morning to find that Dagon had his hands and his head amputated, so that only the trunk of this god remained, this trunk of the fish body. Clearly, we see from our text that God is the true God. The God of Israel is the God over the whole universe, the only God to be worshipped. Even the Philistines came to some measure of realization of this fact. After 7 months of oppression from God, the Philistines resolved to let the Ark of the Covenant go back to the Israelites. The priest of the Philistines even told the people to give glory to the God of Israel and reminded the people that a hard heart had brought nothing good to the Egyptians when they attempted to defy God. The Philistines then had heard about the glory of this one true God, this God of the Israelites, and they were being prompted to think about this very fact. We need to realize today that God is in control of the world and of our lives in particular. We believe that by faith that God has created us and our world, and that he is in control of it at this very moment. He controls it according to his gracious promises and his gracious will. We need to understand with the psalmist that the Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From his dwelling place he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all, he who understands all their works. The king is not saved by a mighty army. A warrior is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a false hope for victory, nor does it deliver anyone by its great strength. Not man, but God is in control of his entire world. Knowing this fact, we will want to preach and to teach a message for all people of this world. In our pluralistic, in our tolerant society, which prizes so highly today its relativism, we will preach and teach a very particular message about a very particular God, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, that is the God, the true God over all people. He is the God over the Muslims and over the Hindus and over the Jews and over the modern pagans of today. This is the total scope of his control over his world. Not only is God's control over all people, but his control is at all times. That it is in every situation. His power remains. That is, his sovereignty remains over us. In good times and in bad times, in little things and in big things, God remains in control. Even where man's sins are involved, which God has nothing to do with, God uses these to bring about his good and gracious will. Since God is in control at all times, he will not tolerate the manipulation of man. When the Israelites had tried to manipulate God by bringing the Ark of the Covenant to the very battlefield so that they might, so to speak, force God's hand and bring victory into their grasp, God did away with their manipulation. He brought a decisive defeat upon his very special chosen people. The manipulation of the Israelites was to no avail. And when the Philistines themselves tried to manipulate God by bringing the Ark of the Covenant before their God, Dagon, and tried to humiliate the God of the Ark of the Covenant by demonstrating his subservience to their God, God would not allow this to take place. He did away with all the manipulation of the Philistines. In each case, God worked out things according to his will and not man's. So let us also beware lest we attempt to manipulate God to gain the things that we desire. Each of us is self-willed. We think that we know what is best for us. And so we are so often convinced that we need that beautiful and that lovely parish on the rolling hills of Wisconsin or perhaps some other place in this world. We are convinced without really even going to God what is right for us. so time after time, God must bring us through trials and tribulations to convince us of the fact that we are not in control, that He is in control, and that it is not our will that must be done, but His will that must be done. More and more, we need to be like the young pastor Timothy, whom Paul described as one who sought not his own interest, but the interest of Jesus Christ. Having looked in at the totality, we might say, of the scope of God's control of His world over all people and at all times, we want to look now really at the method, if you will, of His control. We learn that God controls things in His own way. And often that way is the way of earthly weakness. Even though defeat of a people in battle in the ancient world signified that their God was a weaker God than the God of the victorious people, God allowed that to happen to His people. He allowed His earthly weakness then to be evident in the defeat of His people. That's the way He was going to control things. He allowed His special people to be defeated and 30,000 of their people to be destroyed. The Israelites thought that strength, that is, that victory, would be the best thing for them. But God thought that victory in eternal things was a much more important thing, even if it meant an earthly defeat. And that's the way it has been or was for 2,000 years with God's people. All the way from Abraham to John the Baptist, God worked that way with His people, in weakness, in defeat, and in shame. He brought His people through many trials and through many tribulations and many defeats in battle. And they were oppressed by many people of the ancient world because that is His way of working. Because He wanted to use all of these defeats and all of this shame to build up His people into a true faith in the Messiah. And if we need any better evidence of that's the way God works, we need look no further than Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who came to us from God and He came on a cross, He is the greatest example of the way God works in our world. Christ Jesus, who although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of man, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. There He emptied His very lifeblood for all of us, for all of our sins. He paid the full penalty that we could not pay. And in this worldly weakness of God, which He evidenced for all people to see, He opened the gates of heaven for all people. If that is the way it was with Christ Jesus, then we must be aware of the fact that that is the way it is going to be with us. Luther reminds us that God has worked in this world not in a theology of glory, but in a theology of the cross. Prior to His return in glory, God masks His power and His control of the universe in great shame, in great weakness. He controls the world for our sakes and for the sakes of all poor, dear Christians everywhere. But He does not do it in a glorious fashion, but through weakness. And even now He is guiding, He is controlling your very lives. So that even now, when things don't appear to be going great for you, when things don't seem to be all that grand, even when your life appears to be very weak, and of no consequence to this world whatsoever, be assured that God is in control of your lives, that He is working in you to forgive all of your sins, to give you the power to go on and to do His will in your lives. And when that day comes in the parish, when things don't seem to be going well, when everything seems to be going against you and you can't do anything right, then don't turn to the striking charismatic gifts as evidence that God is in control and that He is working in your life. Just be still and know that there is a God and that He is in control of all people at all times. And remember the trials of the Israelites, and remember the words of Peter. You who are protected by that power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. That the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And remember in those times also the words of the blessed St. Paul. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. Amen.